Welcome to United Parents Podcast.
I'm Scott McVarish.
And I'm Scott Kekin. This is podcast number 4.
You know, you can subscribe to the podcasts, right, Scott?
You can. We're on iTunes. Just search for United Parents in the iTunes store and hit subscribe.
That's why it's delivered to you free and automatic. You're not going to miss a single podcast. And you know what? We're starting a new feature on our website, United Parents Culver City. There are a lot of sections now where you can comment on things, and we're going to have one up where you can comment on our podcast. Let's get that dialogue going, folks.
So just go to unitedparentsculvercity.com.
All right. Well, tonight's program is very exciting because we have the school board president, Kathy Paspalas, coming on. She's going to give us some news of what's happening in Culver City School District that all parents should know. It should be a very interesting conversation. If you know Kathy Paspalas, you know she's a good listener, but she ain't afraid to push.
We're going to have some Culver City United School District news and some United Parents of Culver City news.
All right, let's just start. So what's happened recently in Culver City School District?
Well, recently we just had our Parents Teacher Association, PTA, Honorary Service Awards, and that was held at Culver Events.
Yes, I remember a certain Scott getting an award, and it wasn't McVarish.
It was me.
That's right. Congratulations, Scott Kekin, on getting a Continuing Service Award. You should get that every year with the amount of work you do. And for the listeners who have not ever been to one of these, it is an amazing thing where they actually write songs and do dance routines when they honor the people. So what does it feel like to have song and dance done in your honor, Scott?
Well, I didn't have a specific song that was done for me, but one of my colleagues, Heather Moses, actually had a song done for her. But it is an amazing event. You get you have dinner, you have good conversation, and then you have basically entertainment for an hour. That's very, very, very engaging.
So that song, Hotel California, wasn't for you? I misunderstood. Okay, so Scott, the Political Action Committee of UPCC recently had a meeting and they decided upon something important. Tell us about it.
Well, we decided to start a endorsement process for the school board. So we're asking any member of the community or any parent that is considering running for school board to email us, and we are going to send you a questionnaire. And if you decide that you want to go through the process of having us consider you for endorsement, we're going to ask you those questions. We're going to record the audio or maybe the video, and we're going to sit down and have our members watch them, our PAC members, and we're going to make a decision on who to endorse.
And what's that due date for the questionnaire?
The questionnaire, if you want the questionnaire, we need it back by May 8th. If you would like a questionnaire, you can email us at PAC@unitedparentsculvercity.com.
So give us a scoop, Scott. Who's asked for one so far?
Well, we have Robert Zagurlis, who asked for one. And you know someone too, right?
Kathy Paspalas has asked for one.
Steve Levin has asked for one.
And Carlos Silbinger has asked for one.
That's 4 people so far. So
wait a second. But there is another incumbent. She hasn't asked for one. Miss Seaver, you are most welcome to submit your request. We'll be happy to send you out one because I'm sure she would want to talk to parents about getting an endorsement, right?
Absolutely.
Another exciting event that the United Parents of Culver City has embarked upon is our June 2nd, 6 Months to Victory Parent Talent and Variety Show.
Oh, that sounds pretty scary to me.
I have an idea. You and I should be the MCs. All right?
We could podcast live.
That's true. We could podcast live. So that night, we're going to celebrate our 1, 2, or 3 school board candidates that we endorse. We are going to have a variety of unbelievably talented parents do song, do dance, do comedy, do magic, do motorcycle tricks. I don't know what they're going to do, but tap dance. We've got an awesome tap dancing vice president. Steve Z. And we're going to have a lot of fun that night. That is June 2nd. Save the date. Place to be determined. It'll probably be in the evening. And just go to unitedparentsculvercity.com.
So something a little less entertaining, Scott, what happened at the last superintendent's meeting?
Well, I beg to differ. The superintendent is always very entertaining, a very affable man who talks as much as you and I do. So it's if everyone remembers the podcast we had with them, that was our first three-hour podcast, as I recall. At any rate, at the last superintendent's meeting, in fact, the last two meetings, we've had a lot of conversation about the fate of the Scholars Program classes at the middle school. Those are somewhat equivalent to an honors class, and they're being reduced in the district. And we were informed as to why they're being reduced, what is the rationale. To sum it up briefly, the rationale to reduce them is to make sure that you don't take the highest performing kids out of the classrooms and thus kind of lower the performance level for the rest of the kids. You want to, according to the district, keep all the kids together and then maybe differentiate their study, and the different level of kids will help each other in a variety of ways. I'm torn on this. I see the good behind that rationale, but then again, what I don't like, and this is certainly not blamed on the current superintendent, what I don't like is that this decision was done without any parent input and without advising the parents before it was decided. So black marks for this school district for not taking the parents into consideration before you did this. It may be the best policy in the world, but that's not how parents should be treated.
And if you want to be more involved in making decisions about the academics at your school, we do have a parent engagement team for academic excellence, and you can join that team by going to our website and signing up.
We also had some other actions done at the political action committee meeting. We endorsed a state bill, the first state bill we've ever endorsed.
Yes, we endorsed state bill number 10, and that's from Senator Padilla. His proposed law would make it easier for school districts to terminate teachers who have committed criminal acts that involve children.
And we're very happy to be an early supporter of that bill. As it turns out, a compromise bill has been endorsed by Senator Alex Padilla. So I think SB 10 has been withdrawn or renamed. But we want to give kudos to the senator for bringing that up. You would think that would be a slam dunk. But last year, it never didn't get out of committee. Unfortunately, a few individuals who were strongly supported by the teachers union, oddly enough, would not throw their support that way, and the bill got defeated. The idea behind the teachers' lack of support of it, or I should say their union, because teachers, of course, support getting rid of pedophiles, but it was that the teachers union didn't want to disrupt the lengthy process where teachers who are accused of these things now go for possible discipline that could take up to a couple years, et cetera, et cetera. But one way or the other, there is a compromise bill, and if Senator Padilla is happy about it, then we support him and we will support that bill. Well, we're very pleased tonight to have a special guest here, Culver City Unified School District School Board President Kathy Paspalis. Thank you for coming, Kathy.
Thank you for having me.
We're going to talk about a few different issues tonight, but let's start off with the latest news in Culver City Unified. Tell us a couple key things that our listeners should know about.
Well, if you haven't seen it yet, we've broken ground over at the athletic fields over at the middle school, high school complex. Snack bar is down, fences are up to... And diggers are out there moving dirt. We'll have some new fields out there. We'll have some new facilities. So we're moving forward with that phase that we can do right now with our current capital funds. And we're looking forward to having that available on September 1st for the first home football game and track and field and soccer and lacrosse and PE classes thereafter.
So is it true that concessions are only going to serve roasted vegetables?
That is probably not true, because most folks do like their hot dogs and whatever else is actually served there, which I can't really tell you because I've never tried it. So,
all right. Well, I think we will all be the first in line once it opens.
Yes, you could ask my son though. He's been at the concession stand. I kind of just
Give him money.
Give him the money.
Yes.
What else is happening in Fair Culver City Unified School District that we should know about?
Well, we're also waiting for the final kind of layout for the Robert Frost. We had allocated $2 million to improvements there to see sort of what our priorities there are as identified by the consultants and the architects for improvements, and whether they be safety or otherwise. And then beyond that, to see sort of what the wish list is. The hope is, at least on my end, is to get a bond passed this year so that we can really do what we want to do at all of our school sites in terms of infrastructure and upgrades to our facilities.
That was our next question. We were going to ask you about the facilities bond, and maybe you could give us some details, like, for example, what can the bond be used for and what can it not be used for?
Well, that's an interesting question. It's sort of how we lay it out. Bonds are generally for capital facilities. It's also possible that we can get part of the money is used for technology upgrades and improvements. There was a district, I believe it was somewhere south of us, that passed a technology bond that was all technology. And so those kids now, every single one of them has an iPad, apparently. So there's lots of exciting things that one can do with a bond if the community is invested. The idea of making sure our facilities and our infrastructure reflect the quality of the education that we're providing our kids, which is, as you well know, very high. I mean, folks do move into Culver City to go to our schools, in part, because of their reputation, and they stay because the schools are so great.
So what you're saying is whatever is written into the bond, as long as it's arguably related to facilities, is what later on will be paid for by the facilities bond.
That's basically correct, yeah.
So then It seems if parents want to get involved, if parents feel they have an idea on what some of the priorities at their schools should be, this would be the time, right?
Absolutely. There has been some input requested already from the community. There are parents involved with Friends of the Frost, parents that have been involved with what's going on over there at the sports facilities. There's been plenty of parent input. We can always use more, but I think that there was certainly input from the Environmental Sustainability Committee and parents involved with that with the solar project. So there's been a lot of community input already on the projects that we have going forward.
I think that's definitely one thing that UPCC stands for, is community involvement. And I think that's why we're sponsoring a facilities bond tour featuring Kathy Paspalis,
school board president.
We have invited to tour every school, our elementary schools, and talk to parents and find out what their concerns are, what they want to see happen with this facilities bond.
So, dear listeners, this is your opportunity to have the school board president hear your priorities without you having to go to the school board meeting. She has been gracious enough to agree to this tour over the few weeks of May and early June. Our first one, as I recall, is at Lynn Howe, correct?
Yes, that's correct. On May 2nd, I believe.
Great. So it's going to be sponsored in conjunction with UPCC and the Lynn Howe Booster Club, who do fantastic work at Lynn Howe.
Absolutely.
And so all parents are welcome to be heard. What are your goals for the tour, Kathy?
Well, it's, as you said, it's really a listening tour. I do have some idea of what, for instance, at Lynn Howe, I know that there's an incredible pressure on parking and need for additional parking for at least the teachers, certainly. But I'd be interested to hear what else is needed there, as with the other school sites. I have heard from some faculty members, and I would welcome them to join in as well. I mean, certainly we actually do have faculty members who are also parents. They deal with this day in and day out as well, and so they have a great idea about, I'm sure, what the needs are at their various facilities. So that input is also going to be looked at. We're putting together a master facilities plan. That should also be ready sometime in May as well. I hope sooner rather than later, because that's really going to be the guiding document for what the bond will look to, spell out.
When is that due out?
It's due next month in May, and I don't have the exact date. Our construction managers, Balfour Beatty, have graciously agreed to do basically that a facilities master plan for free, and they've been going from site to site with the assistant superintendent of business services and our MOT manager, a director, Mike Corrigan, and with the site principal, and just going from site to site and assessing needs. And then that will be compiled into a document that we should really have had on hand a while ago, but I pushed to get that done this year so that we have a sense of what's left to get done.
Well, there you have it, folks. If you want to get in on that document, if you want your voice heard, then make sure UPCC comes to your school with School Board President Kathy Paspalis and have that listening tour early in May. We still have a couple schools that haven't set their dates. Right now we're working on El Marino and Farragut and La Bayona. Those three schools are coming online to join Lynn Howe, but we still have yet to hear from El Rincon and the secondary school. So parents, talk to your UPCC rep, talk to the UPCC president, Janine Wiskowski-Stalen, and we'll set that up for you.
Okay, switching gears. A topic that's of interest to both Scott and I, both of us are parents of immersion students. My son at La Bayona and Scott's daughter at El Marino. And one of the things that we liked, that we saw last year was the expansion of the immersion program at the middle school. And I know that you are an integral part of that. Could you tell us a little bit about what got expanded?
Sure. Another parent, Ruth, and I got together when our kids finished second grade, I believe it was, and we surveyed the fourth and fifth grade parents at El Marino right around the beginning of their third grade, our kids' third grade. My kids are now in eighth grade. I have twins. And just started working on improving the middle school program. And then, of course, I got on the board and was able to have a little stronger hand in that. I sat on the Immersion Strategic Planning Committee, which met several times for a day at a time with stakeholders from all the different schools and all the different, both languages, both the Japanese program and the Spanish program, La Bayona, El Marino, the middle school, the high school, parents, community members, educators from LMU. It was quite a group that was comprised. And basically, my mantra has been, where do you get with fifth grade fluency in any language? So I think that what's been done at El Marino is great. I think adding to the program at La Bayona is wonderful. But if we're going to provide our kids with real biliteracy, we need to go K through 12. We also need to provide pathways at the middle school for kids who are native speakers to join in the program at the middle school and find a way into high school, which will lead them hopefully to the AP classes where they can earn college credit and gain, some advanced proficiency in the language. So that whether they go out on to a career or whether they go on to college, they're bilingual.
It's fabulous. And I know that there's also some plans for the high school.
Yeah, so I think that the new mantra may be that, eighth grade fluency is in any language is not so hot either. Mm-hmm. And that we're definitely looking to push through to K through 12. The high school is a lot more intricate in terms of the master schedule and whether there's, an identified need, and it's a little hard to identify a need when there's never been an eighth grade class pushing forward to say, well, why isn't this happening in ninth grade? That bubbling up with, we've now got the sixth grade program. We'll have La Bayona a couple years behind. You know, pretty soon we'll have a real cohort of, at least for the Spanish side, a large cohort coming through both the middle school and then through the high school. And there, the demand, I think, will grow, and folks will see, be interested to see what will happen at the high school. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of that has to do with, you know, this is where I kind of step back and push for progress, but listen to what the site administrators, the professionals who are teachers or curriculum experts, whether that be the folks that we brought in from LMU, you know, folks that are doing this within our district, the FLAP grant, that we can just, you know, it's not something you can just throw together. I mean, you have to have a curriculum, you have to have teachers who have a single subject credential, you have to have the materials. It has to be integrated into what's already going on at the high school. This is not something you can just slap together willy-nilly. So it will take some time, just as it did at the middle school. But I hope that by the time that first cohort of now sixth graders reach ninth grade, that we will have something to offer them beyond just an elective.
Well, for 20 years, kids have gone from the immersion program at the elementary level to the middle school, and they did not have the benefit of that. So kudos to you to help push that through.
Thank you.
I think people appreciate you on the school board because you do listen, but a lot of people can listen. What you do differently is you listen and you push. You're not afraid to push, and you know how to push. You have a good balance on that. So we look forward to a second term of you on the school board, and
thank
maybe
you.
That will be the time when it goes to the high school.
Yes, and I'm looking forward to a second term also. I'm looking to keep pushing, keep asking the right questions, demanding answers, and really pushing forward for the best education we can possibly provide for our kids here in CCUSD.
Great. Well, on that note, thank you very much, Kathy, for spending time with us. And
thank
we
you.
Look forward to working with you over the next 6 months and maybe 4.5 years.
Terrific.
So thank you.
Thank you for having me.
All right.
One unresolved issue I want to talk about before we wrap up this podcast. This is something for our new mayor. Culver City has a new mayor.
Jeff Cooper.
That's right. Jeff is a great parent supporter. He was an early supporter of United Parents of Culver City. And we would like to suggest to the Honorable Mayor that one of the first things he does, it's a small thing, but it would mean a lot to the parents, is to fix the parking problems around the schools. For instance, there's 2 days a week where parents can't park on one side of the street when they're dropping their kids off. It may sound like a small issue, but I have seen the possible dangers. When you can't find a parking spot, parents get a little riskier. They don't want their kids to be late for school. I see kids crossing the street. I see cars double parking. It makes a mess. We need to change the time so that just at least during the half hour, 45 minutes, when parents drop their kids off, they can use both sides of the street without getting a parking ticket. So Mayor Cooper, we ask you, in your first week or so on the city council, give an early victory to the parents. We'd very much appreciate it. And by the way, that's someone we should have on the podcast in the future.
We should. Okay, I think that's about all we have for this podcast. It's been a pleasure. We hope that you subscribe to us on iTunes and visit us on our website, unitedparentsculvercity.com. Until next time, this is Scott Keckin.
And Scott McVarish.
Have a good night.